potentially share briefly on Psalm 145, but I had this in mind to share with you, and this is the text to me about this yesterday, Maria. There's a law that was passed by the House of Representatives this week, 224-206, called the Equality Act, and I knew this was coming down the pipe a while ago, and that's why I always sidestep. I always think it's good to have divided government. You need a right and a left wing to fly an airplane. And when it's all left or all right, you know, sometimes it's not the best. And I knew this was going to happen, which is... But I want to share some thoughts on that, and I want to share something from my heart on that. And I want to read a couple of things first. Our church is here at New Song. We're affiliated with the Assemblies of God, and Doug Clay, who I guess you call him the pastor, he leads the organization or our fellowship. He put out a very good, it's not a statement because it's four pages, but a very good response. And so I want to read a couple of points on it. And this isn't just a short-sighted Facebook post or anything. They have lawyers, they've studied this, they know what it is. So a couple of points I'm going to make, I'm going to read. It says, regrettably, the Equality Act as currently drafted undermines the equality of religious people, undercutting our ability to act consistently with our sincerely held beliefs, including beliefs regarding the sanctity of life, which I did not realize until this week. Well, I'll get to that in just a minute. If you remember, in 2015, the Supreme Court made a constitutional right for same-sex marriage. But one of the things that, and I didn't know this, Justice Kennedy did when he was the swing vote, if you remember. I didn't realize this, but he actually put in there's a clause in there to give people of faith protection from. In other words, I don't have to, I'm protected by law, by U.S. law, if someone, a same-sex couple, comes to me and says, hey, we want you to marry us. They know it violates biblical principles, and there's a protection from that. So the Equality Act, as it's currently standing, it says here, this Equality Act as of now stands Kennedy's admonitions on its head, and it instead establishes a legal structure that would punish people who simply wish to live their lives and serve their communities in a manner consistent with their sincerely held religious beliefs. There's another case in 2020 I won't get into. I don't know enough about it to speak about it intelligently. The National Right to Life Committee noted this in February 2021, this month. I don't know when it is. It's almost March, isn't it? 2021, yeah. In short, the Equality Act may be construed to create the right to demand abortion from healthcare providers and destroy conscience protections. I didn't know that this week. There's a legal scholar, Douglas Laycock. He stated this. He said, the Equality Act is not a good faith attempt to reconcile competing interests. It is an attempt by one side to grab all the disputed territory and to crush the other side, as it's currently drafted. Okay. And I want to say this too, people of faith and even agnostics are opposed to this because it's too much. The bill includes, just bear with me as I read some of these things, and you at home need to hear it as well. The bill includes a new definition of public accommodation that could make churches subject to government regulations regarding sexual orientation and gender identity. I'm going to give you my position on this in a minute, okay? I'll just read what they have on here. States with similar laws almost always make it clear that churches engaged in ministries such as pastoral counseling, hosting food pantries, are not considered public accommodations subject to discrimination laws. The Equality Act provides no such assurances. I think it's very broad on purpose. But if churches engage in such ministries become public accommodations, as far as the Equality Act is concerned, it's not clear they can continue to refuse to rent their facilities to same-sex couples for weddings. Well, I'll just say up front, I will refuse. That's never going to happen. I'll talk about that in just a minute. It also says, religious colleges educate hundreds of thousands of students in the U.S. who desire an academic environment that is supportive of their values. The college I went to was a Southern Baptist college, actually. So Campbell, where I went, would be included in that. Such institutions are currently free to make hiring and other operational decisions that uphold their religious mission, and it is commonplace for students at these schools to make use of federal student loans and grants. The Equality Act represents a direct attack on all of this. For many such schools, including the schools and the Assemblies of God Alliance for Higher Education, so the Assemblies of God, there's a lot of colleges that train people, not just for ministry, but for all areas of life, whatever you do. The inability of the students to participate in federal student aid programs would dramatically impact their ability to continue operating. Under the Equality Act, faith-based schools and service organizations like foster care agencies, it's ridiculous, domestic violence shelters, and countless others that receive even a small amount of federal funds would be required to adopt the government's new standard everywhere in their operations. This would apply even to separate services that are privately funded. A small federal emergency management agency grant, such as helping an agency recover from a disaster, so they could get back to serving the community, would be enough to trigger the Act's provisions. Indeed, the Act is so punitive. Get this. And again, this is not just someone on Facebook. They have legal people, attorneys who've studied this. The Act is so punitive that it would strip access to free and reduced lunch for hundreds of thousands of children who attend religious schools. So, a couple things, real quick. And that has not passed the Senate. I guess it's in the Senate now. It passed the House, and our fearless leader in, we're Connecticut, but Rhode Island, Cicilline, I think, was the coast. Well, I think he was the one of the main guys. So there's some, let me just say my position. First and foremost, I've been aware of this for a while, and I know as long as I'm sitting in that door right there, as long as I'm here, if we lose our tax-exempt status, so be it. Good. I don't care. I will never violate biblical principles of one man, one woman, created in the image of God. Those things will never depart, and I'll take any punishment that comes from that. I don't care. That's where I'm at. As long as I'm here, as long as this church is here, I can promise you, same-sex marriage is never going to be here. We're not going to be open up. We're not going to have a biological male who is allowed to go into a female's restroom. We're not going to teach things that are contrary to the Word of God. Amen. That will never happen. Amen. And if we lose taxes, you know what the building's paid for.
Amen.
Okay? If we have to pay taxes, even if it wasn't, I don't care. Right. If I have to pay taxes, I don't care. If I get in trouble, I don't care. That is Amen. The guiding principles, and I think we need to have that stand. There's some things in here about, you know, pray for our senators, and you can disagree with me if you do, just do it to yourself. But I don't think there's any point in me reaching out to Dick Blumenthal to change his mind on an email. But what I am going to pray for, and what I do believe, and I said this in Acts, when they were persecuted, and they said, we pray for more boldness. Yeah. So the church would be bold. And you know what? I think a dividing line that can come in our nation is if, and now let me just say this practically, I could be wrong, this is just in my humble opinion, I don't think the bill as it is going to pass the Senate. I actually don't. I think it's going to be some changes to it. I think some form of it will eventually. I know Biden's one of his things. He wants this pushed through in his first 100 days. And so I will say pray for these guys that they would have a sense. I do know, practically speaking, Susan Collins, who's a more moderate Republican, I think she helped with this, and she said that they did not accept her changes, and she's more on pause for this. Because this, frankly, comes against people of faith, Christian faith, Muslim, a practicing Muslim, a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, whatever you may be, it's going to hit home. But hey, good. And it's going to be a dividing line. You know, whose side are you on? I'm on the Lord's side.
That's right.
And I don't care. I've given my life for Him.
Yeah.
I've been slinging it in the trenches for the Lord for a long time. And I think it's important for all believers in our nation. Oh, I'd like to say some things. For all believers in our nation to get out and sling it out with the rest of us.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, there's only but so much we can do on our Facebook page. Forgive me for saying that. But get out there and sling it. I'm willing to stand up, and you are, and we are. I don't care what they put at me or anything. I'm praying for boldness for us, for the people of God, and that there's going to be a dividing marker and a dividing barrier that comes from whatever this is. So whatever happens, we can pray for our leaders, and I think it's important to do that. I want to say this too to implore you to, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind, to not allow fear or, it's okay to be angry as well, but be angry and do not sin. Christina said amen, hallelujah, amen. Christina, I agree with you. Thank you for chatting in. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. So I implore us to not be fearful or skittish, but to be bold and more radical in our faith. And I think as believers in America, whatever form of this that happens, I think in the long run, we're going to be shooting forward. And change is going to happen from the ground up. And there's going to be, I believe, in my heart of hearts, that there's so many people in the world, in our country right now, who don't know Jesus
yeah.
yet.
Yeah.
Who are going to be mighty men and women of God in the days to come. So I say this, don't be fearful, but be resolved.
Yes.
You can throw this at me. It doesn't change the gospel.
That's right.
And if the government, honestly, I believe that, you know, there's three sacred institutions, and I've shared on this here before. I'm not going to preach this morning, but the family, local church, and the government. If the government's going to come in and mandate what we do, they're out of order before God.
Right.
And God will deal with them.
Amen.
And we're not going to change for their place that's out
that's
of order.
Right.
Essentially, they're imposing secular faith on my faith in Christ.
Right.
Because it's their faith. It's secular faith.
Right.
Imposing it on my faith, and it's not going to happen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You can say something, but use this so they can hear you. Because.
Our enemy is not people. We're not fighting against people who believe differently because there's a lost and a dying generation.
Right.
And they need Jesus.
Yeah.
And doesn't the whole Old Testament show, it was the Old Covenant, it was God-given laws. Of course we want righteous laws, but they don't change hearts and they
right.
don't save us. So yes, we pray for wise leadership, we pray for
right.
good laws, but we need God to change hearts.
Yes.
And we need, Jeremiah, I will give them a new heart,
yeah.
a new spirit. I will take out
yeah.
their stony hearts. So may we as the church, may we be the church, and may we pray
yeah.
for souls.
Yes.
And may we pray for people to encounter Jesus
mm-hmm.
and for changed hearts and changed lives. Because I don't care if we have the best laws in the
right.
world,
right.
the most righteous laws, it
right.
doesn't change. We're still lost without Jesus Christ
Amen.
And without the cross.
Amen.
So we're not fighting against the people
right.
who are lost and who are hopeless
yes.
and who are, Alyssa counts, I mean, they're struggling and they're looking
yeah.
for, like, here's the best man can
yeah.
do. Look at what we can build.
Right.
Look at our Tower of Babel we can erect.
Mm-hmm.
And it fall, all of sin and all fall short of the glory of God. So
yeah.
Lord, give us hearts
yeah.
to love
yeah.
the people who don't know you.
Yeah,
you said, Clay, you know, we can believe for miracles. Is it too great of a miracle that we pray for Biden to come to Jesus? I mean, what about these people? It's not too much. It's not. So let us pray. Lord, give us hearts. Give us your heart for
yeah.
people. Give us your heart for the lost.
Yes.
And may we as the Church of Jesus Christ rise up and
yes.
be your hands and feet
yes.
in our country, in our nation, in our communities,
yes.
in our homes.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's so true. And I'm not going to do my sermon as is this morning. Let me say something else. So that's my position on this.
Amen.
And it's you need to hear that from me. I'll be honest with you, in this past year, I don't know what it is. I was thinking, my reward is in heaven, and your reward is in heaven, and our citizenship is in heaven. I serve a different king. You serve a different king. We serve a different king. Man, I've been slinging it out too long for the Lord to deal with it. And I have more boldness now than I ever had in my heart before. And that's a good thing. I'd be willing to go to the gallows if I still had it. And I think all of us have that. And all of us here, all of you watching, and that's my position, that's our position, and that's the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean I'm out. My enemy's not flesh and blood, as Andrew just said. And we love people. People are lost. People do struggle with their identity. Like, yeah, listen, you're a counselor. You see it all the time. They do struggle with their identity. Teaching the identity in Christ, I've done it here. It's they do, but they need Jesus, not a sex change. They need Jesus Christ, you know? And so that's what we're believing for. And I honestly sometimes just put the stuff out there in the open. I believe they're going to come to Jesus because man at his best state is altogether vanity. And only he fulfills us. Let me read this one verse because it's in Psalm 145. You don't have to turn there, but it says, the eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Only he can satisfy us, and that's for everyone. And so that's our position as the people of Christ, and there's a mystical body of Christ. That's one thing the Catholic Church teaches so well. There's a mystical body, but there's also a physical corporate body. And I do believe that in the days to come, that's going to become more and more and more pronounced. That the body of Christ will be truly shined forth. This is the true body of Christ. Amen. If you're playing games with it, then just do everyone a favor and just quit. The true body of Christ, those who are fully following, and maybe I should have said what I just said. Don't speak for the Lord Jesus Christ if you don't have that heart. But Lord, we are your disciples. We're willing to go to the cross, as you said. And that needs to be in our hearts. Yeah. Let me say something else. I said this in my sermon, but I wanted to put this. I wanted to say this. I was telling my wife last night. This was back in. Because God's doing a good thing, and I'm gonna share something in just a minute from my sermon. I'm not gonna do my whole sermon. I'm gonna share something from it after I share this, and then I'm gonna be done. I had a moment. And some of it's personal to me, and I'll leave that to me. And some of it you can know. And I'm going to share it over the next few weeks, every week, I think. This was in November. It was the Saturday. And I flew home on a Sunday, the 22nd. So Saturday, the 21st of November. I was in my office, and I love worship, and I had a song on, and it just hit me a certain way, and I broke. And God started speaking to me and about this church here. And this church has been here since 1968, in this community. There's been so many evangelical churches that have come and gone. This church has been here since 1968. Mm-hmm. And the Lord loves it so much. Mm-hmm. He loves it. And what the Lord was sharing with me is, but Clay, I get to share with you a portion of my love for this church, because I love it so much. Lord, I love it. I share a portion. And that goes for all of us, everyone who's here in person, who watches, and, church everywhere is just fragmented right now because of the COVID stuff. That's happened everywhere, and that's going to get better. But, Lord, you've given us a privilege. You've given me, I'll just speak for myself, and you can take it for you if you want. Lord, you've given me a privilege to be a part of something bigger than myself in an area that needs Jesus Christ so much.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my wife, and so often in churches, and I think this is going to change in the days to come, just speaking in my heart right now, we view church, and I'm not saying that's happened with any of you here, but we view church from an American consumerist mindset of what can you give for me, and what can you do for me? Don't hurt my feelings, and don't do this, don't do that. What can I have? As opposed to, I'm privileged to be a part of something bigger than myself, to play a part of the spreading of the kingdom of God in the area that he's called me to. And I think that heart is coming back to the church more and more and more and more and more. It needs to. We need that. Entertainment-based religion is just not... There's a sincerity that's coming back. I really believe this to the body of Christ, the wholeness and the diligence. And I'm saying that to say this to you, and because there's some good announcements I believe I'm going to be making over the next few weeks. And God's doing something good here right now. And I look at it this way, and I don't know if this is entirely, I don't know where I'm getting this from. I've heard someone say something similar to this before. But I believe that when we stand before God, I think God sees us as a body, not just as individuals. I'm an individual, but we're also a body. And I do think he even calls local bodies together and says, what did you do in this area? What did you do for what I've called you to? What did you do? What did you do? And we have a portion in inheritance. I read about these folks who, I'm going to read a story in a minute about Nepal and how the gospel is spreading in this area. And I look here in New England. Say, you know, Great Reformation happened here. Who was it telling me Jonathan Edwards had a preach? Was it you? Mm-hmm. Jonathan Edwards, a sermon right up in Westerly?
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing. Jonathan Edwards, a great reformer, preaching
Whitfield.
That's amazing. These are champions in the faith who God used. And we hear about them. I wonder how many people we don't hear about who are also a part of it, but we hear about them. In this area right here, God's doing that. And I'm thinking, you know, it was that we were all, a lot of us were at a meeting with David Wagner. This was probably about 4 years ago. David Wagner is a prophetic minister, and he was up here in the state, and he was sharing how he believes areas that God first visited in this nation. A lot of times we've seen a lack in that. Afterwards, there's a spiritual decline for whatever reason. He says God's going to be revisiting those places again where he first visited in this nation. And we all have a part and a portion and an inheritance to make a real mark of the kingdom on this area that so needs Jesus Christ. And I do believe there's a fresh season and a new season. And I said last week, a new song even coming to this congregation here, to this area, in a good way, and it's a good thing. And I think God's going to do things, whether we can even see it discernibly in the flesh or not. I think some of it we will. We can stand before the Lord. It's a new song, well done, good and faithful people of God. You were entrusted with little, you made much of it. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And so I say that I'm a part of something bigger than myself in Pawcatuck and Westerly. You know, and you are too. None of us are here by accident. And God's doing good things. Everything with the Equality Act, God's going to work it together for good in our nation. He's going to work. I think one of the revivals, I'm just talking this morning, one of the revivals that hit our nation, when I watch a documentary on it, it makes me break out in tears, is the Jesus Movement in the 70s, the Jesus people. And a lot of, you know, men and women who taught me into the faith came to Jesus in that movement. Maybe that's why. But it was a bunch of young hippies who were apparently in drugs and into the occult and things along those lines. And they were empty. And then they found Jesus Christ. And they went out and they rocked the world. I think they even made the cover of Time magazine. How can that not happen now? There's so many disillusioned. There's so many who are asking questions. Now is fertile ground.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just want to even be heard and pointed in the right direction. And we have that privilege. So we don't walk in fear. We don't walk in cowardice of anything the government can or can't do to me. I just don't care about it anymore. So God's doing a good thing. And so I want to read one thing to you, and then we're going to wrap it up. And I had something on Psalm 145. I'm going to swing back to it next week. But verse 13 says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. That's again, that's Psalm 145:13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. That was a prominent theme in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar and Darius, who were pagan kings, said that. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I went to Bible school with a brother from Nepal, and I've always remembered him because I wondered, how in the world did you get to New York in Bible school? Because Nepal was, at the time, was 1% Christian. The whole land, it was a very poor nation. My wife and I watched something one time. There's this show, and it was a British show, and they would take these guys, and they'd drive through dangerous roads, and one of them was in Nepal, and to see the conditions some of the people lived in, it was quite astounding. But today, Nepal is one of the fastest growing churches in the world. Christian Post had an article that I read, and I want to read some of those things to you. There's one brother, and he said he became a Christian at the age of 8. God healed him from food poisoning. He made this statement. He said this: firstly, church growth there in Nepal is because of miracles. If people don't get healed at the hospital, they go to church and ask for prayer. And when the church family and church leaders pray for the sick people, they are getting healed. Amen. Amen. We have a portion of that here, do know we not?
Yes.
All the miracles and healings that we've seen. And he says this: in 1951, Nepal reported no Christians in its government census. It's not long ago. My dad was alive then. It wasn't long ago. By 1961, that number had increased to 458 people. So I actually look at that in 10 years. Imagine whoever the Lord sent there to raise it from zero to 458. Imagine their reward in heaven. Today, the World Christian Database ranks it as the 12th fastest growing Christian population in the world, with 1.2 million believers. This is this year. And it says the real number may be higher. God's doing a good work in the earth.
Yes.
It says this: in some countries, fast growth rates of Christians are due to migration. In other countries, high birth rates may contribute more, but in Nepal, the main factor for growth is conversion from other religions. We estimate that Nepal is now 4.25% Christian. So when I was in Bible school with Bharat and from Nepal, that was, it was 08. So it was 13 years ago. So I was saying 13 years, then it was 1%. So it's gone from 1 to 4.25% in 13 years.
But I think it was 0.1%.
Was it 0.1?
It was 0.1. I could be wrong.
0.1%. That seems even lower. Wow. There was a missionary from our Bible school that went to Nepal. And so I think that's how Bharat heard of it. But praise God, that's a 4% growth. Yeah, whatever it is, 4%, 3% or 4%. I read another article, and this was from 2015, which wasn't that long ago. But, and it was, Manny wrote, he says this, and I've heard this as well. And I'm saying this to give us proper perspective from a world perspective. That God is on the move in the world. In the churches, we have our problems here in America, and God's dealing with us in certain areas, but the church is growing. God's message doesn't stop. It says the center of Christianity has shifted from Europe to the global south. And it says a century ago, 80% of Christians lived in North America and Europe, compared with just 40% today. It says this today, this is 2015, the Christian community in Latin America and Africa alone account for 1 billion people. I'm sure it's grown. One out of four Christians in the world is presently in Africa. And the Pew Research Center estimates that will grow to 40% by 2030. So that's in a few, 9 more years. Asia is also experiencing growth. In the last century, Christianity grew at twice the rate of population in that continent. And Asia's Christian population of 350 million is projected to grow to 460 million by 2025. Our family is growing in the world, our brothers and sisters in the world. Even today, demographics estimate that more Christian believers are found worshiping in China on any given Sunday than in the United States. I believe that. Here's another thing, and they have a very oppressive, and we need to pray for them because someone sent me an article this week, Rick Vargas did, because he has connections there in China, and they are now in China. I think they have state-sponsored churches. Now they're having state-sponsored, every minister has to do a government, register with the government to show you're supportive of communist China, or else you can't minister. So we need to pray for boldness and strength there. They're far beyond us in their need. And obviously the church is growing. It also says this, the growth of Pentecostalism, tongue-talking, supernatural believers in Latin America, is estimated to be at 3 times the rate of Catholic growth. Today, Brazil, this is for you, Christina, as well, not only has, this reflects Pentecostalism's astonishing growth. I don't have the number for that. But, Brazil has the highest rate, I think, in Latin America of Pentecostal, the fastest Pentecostal growing church in America, in the world. And it says this, today, 1 out of 4 Christians is Pentecostal or charismatic. That was in 2015. 1 out of 12 people alive today has a Pentecostal form of Christian faith. And he goes on to talk about this, and I want to give this perspective as well, and I'm not trying to hit any landmines with any of you when I say this, so I'm going to be neutral on certain things, but they talk about immigration, and I know that's a hot-button issue for a lot of people, but one thing that's happening now is they are opening up the door for more immigrants to come in to our land. And it says this, sociologists report that the process of migration typically increases the intensity of religious faith. Have that perspective. Fresh spiritual vitality in both North America and Europe is being fueled by the process of global migration. It says this, in the United States, about 43 million residents were born in another country and immigrated here. And of these, 74% adhere to the Christian faith. So listen, I was telling my wife last night, I've shared this story here a few times. My brother went to Zambia. Some of you were here when Chris Rackley was here a few years ago. Some of you watching may remember him. In Zambia, my brother was just wrecked when he went there. He saw people walking to church for miles in their shoes. They had no money. And they went up out of faith to do this. They just gave. They were just absolutely sold out for the Lord. And he came back and he just couldn't. Kind of messed them up in a good way. And I told my wife, I said, wouldn't it be good, Wilbur and Catherine, you guys watching, if we had some whole influx. They need to evangelize us now. Let's put it that way. I think we need some missionaries from Latin America. We need some missionaries from Brazil. We need some missionaries from Africa, from China. Would it be if we had 10 Chinese underground church people come to Pawcatuck and Westerly? This whole town would just burn up with the fire of the Spirit. So I'm saying that to say this, the perspective to look at it, take your political eyes off for just a minute, and if that's happening right now, maybe God is setting our nation up for something good.
Yes.
Or if there's some on fire, Latin American Pentecostals who are migrating to America, Lord, send them here.
Yes.
Send them to Pawcatuck, send them to Westerly, send them to Rhode Island, send them to Connecticut, send them to Massachusetts.
Yes.
God's kingdom is advancing. It hasn't stopped.
Right.
Lord, I thank you for that. His kingdom has not stopped. It's moving. And if I can take off, it's important to be aware of what's going on in my nation. And I'm dual citizenship. I'm a citizen of America, and I'm also a citizen of the kingdom of God.
Right.
I appreciate my country. There's no other place in the world I'd rather live. There's no other country I'd want to move to. And I mean that with all my heart. I'm grateful. I had no idea how privileged I was to be an American when I was younger, and I do now. I honor all those who fought and served and everything, but my ultimate alliance is with the kingdom of heaven. It's with Jesus Christ, who is my chief commander-in-chief. He's my king. He is my savior. And his kingdom's never stopped. And I'm aware of what's going on in my land, but I'm also aware that, God, your kingdom is moving throughout the earth. The believers in Nepal, they're also dealing with a tremendous amount of persecution. As you can imagine, yet they're growing.
Yes.
China, persecution, yet they're growing. Yes. We're starting to feel some of it now. If this Equality Act, as I read, comes into being, that's not just, hey, we're getting picked on Facebook. That is actual persecution. It's soft persecution, but it's persecution. And it opens the door to hey, you guys can't do this anymore type thing. And then you make a stand. What are we going to do? If this building's paid for, I believe there's churches in our land where the buildings aren't paid for. Maybe they'll move out. Good for them. They can split up and they'll grow. I think the church is going to grow. I believe the church in America is going to grow. I know it is. And God's doing a shaking. He's doing a shifting. And He's called us all together for such a time as this. Yeah. I was talking to my wife about our children. I said, they get to be born in a spectacular time. Yeah. You know, it might be hard, but we have to put on our heavenly lenses. Mm-hmm. Lord, you're doing a good thing. You're doing a good thing. It's a hard thing. But I think this. I'm going to close with this. I've shared this story here before. I'm going to repeat it. But it's these young Chinese, I think they were teenagers. I don't know if they're at YWAM or where they were, somewhere. And all of them, there's this prophetic man there, and he got prophetic words, dreams, and all of them, except for a couple, dreams that you're going to be a martyr for your faith. And the one or two that didn't went away, and they were so upset. Someone came and said, why? God didn't think we're worthy enough to be martyred for our faith. You know, and that's starting to shift with me now, actually. And I'm not saying that's going to happen to me or you, but I think it's a good mindset to have instead of, ooh, yes, Lord, I made it. 10 more years. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flower of the field. And grass withers and the flower fades. Our life is but a breath. What greater thing to give up for than Him? Amen. Lord, I want to be the guy, too. And someone says, all of you are martyrs, and Clay, you're not. And I would have to go in there and get on my knees. What's wrong with me? You know, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that's a position we need to have. And I want to have it. I want us to have it. So I've just rambled this morning, but I poured my heart out. Because the church in America has been shaken, rattled, rolled in 2020. And we need it. We needed it. We didn't know. I think we did know we needed it. But not the extent that we've seen it. And it's good. It's hard. But it's good. It's hard for believers. But it's good.
Yeah.
I don't allow bitterness to set in. It's okay to be mad. But be angry and not let the sun set down your wrath. Yeah. You say, Lord, if I can look with the eyes of the Spirit, we get to be a part of something fantastic in the earth. So, Lord, I just say this as I just rambled this morning. But Lord, I feel like I've captured your heart really the best that I can. Lord, I thank you for this people. Lord, those who are here in person. Lord, I thank you for those who are home. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, this pandemic mess is going to be over with soon. And, you know, we can get back to some sense of what we had. But Lord, when we come back, Lord, that's going to be different in a good way. Lord, our land is going to be different in a good way. Lord, the church, Lord, we've been punched in the face. Lord, we've maybe been knocked down, but we're in the corner. We're getting back up.
Yeah.
And I thank you for that, Lord. And we're coming back up, Lord, with bigger muscles. Lord, with some new moves, Lord, some other, an uppercut that the enemy hasn't seen yet. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you that we here, New Song Assembly, Lord, our part, the portion, Lord, that you haven't turned your eyes from us, Lord. Lord, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. Lord, to see those whose hearts are strong towards you. And Lord, that's what we are. That's who we are. That's our portion. We are strong. Lord, I pray, Lord, as the early church did, Lord, for a spirit of boldness like we've never seen before. Lord, that it doesn't matter what the enemy is. Andrew said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities. Yeah. Whatever the enemy throws, Lord, it only strengthens my resolve. Yeah. The enemy hits me, I get stronger. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of that Rocky 3, mm-hmm. when Rocky was in there with Clubber Lang, mm-hmm. and Apollo Creed was the guy in the corner, and Clubber was knocking him out. He said, he's getting killed out there. And Polly said, no, he's getting mad. Thank you, Lord. At the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not getting beaten. Lord, we're marching and we're moving. And Lord, you're going to use us to shake, rattle, this land, Lord, for Southern New England, Lord, that
yes.
so needs
yes.
a fresh touch of the Spirit, Father.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you, Lord. You've called this house to be a house of prayer for
yes.
all nations, Father.
Yes.
Lord, that there's warfare, Lord, in worship, God.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you for all that come here, Lord, for prayer, for worship, for healing, God, for everything. Lord, this house here, Father, Lord, is a landmark you've kept here
yes.
for so many years on purpose.
Yes.
Lord, as churches have come and gone, evangelical churches, good men and women of God who love you.
Yes.
Lord, those places have come and gone. Lord, you've kept this place, God,
yes.
for such a time as this.
Thank you,
Lord, we're all privileged to be a part of that. I thank you, Lord, for our inheritance, for our portion. God, to see your kingdom, Lord,
yes.
just as we've seen in Nepal. I don't know what the numbers are in New England, in Southern New England, but honestly, Father, I think for true disciples of the Lord, I'm not sure how far off we are from the 4.25% that they have there. Lord, I thank you that Southern New England,
yes.
God, can be the fastest growing region
yes.
of Christian faith in this country, Father. Lord, that you haven't abandoned Southern New England.
Yes.
You haven't turned your back to Southern New England. But Lord, that your eye is fixed and gazed upon us, Father. And Lord, those who have come here and said, this land is too hard and we can't do anything, Father. This state's been called a preacher's graveyard, but the Lord says no to that.
Yes.
That is not our portion. That's
yes.
not our inheritance. That's not the inheritance of New Song. That's not the inheritance for every Bible-believing, Christ-following church in this area.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that the people of God in this land truly do arise, God, and we can. Lord, just as those men and women who labor there in that land of Nepal, Lord, that we can also be a part of that, God. I thank you for a portion of that we've already seen here, Lord. People, I get no relief from the doctors, but I see there's a healing room sign. Let me call up that church and see
yes.
what's going
yes.
on.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that we've seen some of that, and I thank you that increases,
yes.
Father. Lord, I thank you there's people out throughout this land where we've heard that are even high schoolers who are being hospitalized for anxiety, God, and depression. Lord, those who are crying out, Father, Lord, I thank you that just as, Lord, Elam, as we read in the scriptures, it was a place where there was water in the desert, Father.
Yes.
Lord, this church, Lord, in our very lives, God, whether we're here in this building or outside, Lord, that we can be that Elam, Lord, that place of refreshing and
yes.
water, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, that you put out of your belly shall flow rivers of
yes.
living water. So we thank you, Lord, floods upon a dry ground. We thank you for what you're doing in New England. We thank you for what you're doing in our country. And we thank you, Lord, that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is arising
Amen.
To a rightful place, stronger, healthier, and better than ever before. One last thing I'm going to pray is in my heart. Lord, I thank you, Father. Lord, even if this passage and this law does come into play, and I share with my wife that this would happen, I said, if that happens, I'm talking right now, if that happens, I can guarantee you that you will get same-sex couples who will come in and say, I need you to marry me.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's going to happen. So, Father, I thank you that when that does happen, that's an open door and an opportunity
yeah.
to see their hearts melt in the presence
yeah,
of God.
Yes.
Lord, that their hearts would change in the presence of God.
Yes.
And, Lord, that you raise up godly men and women. I read a story some time ago. It was Mahesh Chavda. He's a minister Charlotte, North Carolina, the book of his. If you're ever interested in fasting, I was talking to Bob about that this morning. The only book I've ever read that would make me want to fast is his book on fasting, because he's lived a life. He just encourages so much in it. And he was sharing in that book, there's some ministers in the area, and there's this man who was living a homosexual lifestyle. And he was going in these churches and manifesting demonically. And these pastors were scared, and they called up Mahesh, and they said, can you come take care of this? And he said, you're a man of God, why don't you do it? He said, no, you come. And so he came, and he saw a radical deliverance from that guy. And what happened, he says, I went back a few years later, and the man was in the front. I believe this was the story. He married a beautiful young woman, had a family, his life was restored. So I thank you, Lord, we don't cower from those things. But, Lord, we say those are opportunities for
yes.
divine appointments, Lord,
yes.
for men and women who desperately need you,
Thank
Father.
You.
We say, hey, we're not open for you to get married, but we are open for you to come and encounter the power and the love of
yes.
Jesus Christ, the only thing that can set you free.
Right.
I thank you that happens here in this church,
yes.
Father. Every single one of us who's a part of it, whether I'm in the building then, or whether Kevin's here in the building, or Alyssa or Maurice, whoever's here, Father, whoever's in the building, hey, that's not a thing to be fearful of. Yeah. These are two people who are getting ready to encounter Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Lord, I pray, Lord, a brother shared with me. So there's a UPS man that came to his church, and this has actually happened here, not UPS, but someone else. But they came and they walked through the door and said, "What's different about this place?" That's happened in our church, whether you know it or not. We had a lady from Pennsylvania, and she was walking in our grounds, and she said, "I need to find a church like this in Pennsylvania because I feel the presence of God when I walk here."
Yeah.
Lord, I thank you, Lord. This is a place,
yes.
Lord, that when people come and they want to do nefarious things, Lord, that they're captured by the power of God, the power of Jesus Christ, who alone can save, heal, and set free. We thank you, Lord, that you are a powerful God. You're not a powerless God, as we sing this morning. You're a powerful God. This we know.
Yes.
And we love you, Jesus. We celebrate you. You're a good God.
Yes.
You're doing a good work in the earth.
Thank you.
We have the privilege of walking with you and being a part of that. And we thank you, and we love you, and we bless your wonderful name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I need to be quiet because I'm going to keep going. I didn't get to my sermon, but I feel like that was the heart of the Lord if I've ever shared it before again. When you turn on the news and you see this stuff being talked about, don't be fearful. Know what's going on as much as you can. I get mine in portions. The actual law itself I talked about is actually out there. I was going to read it. I was like, this is too long. I can't read it. But no, God is on the throne. And God's doing a good thing in the earth. And my position, our position, is boldness and not fear. Amen? And love, and love. Thank you for adding that to it. We need that as well. So we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for hearing me this morning.